With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
I face the same old problems every day. Makes me want to holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for every radio. Your dose of radio.
Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware.
I've got strategies for living.
Strategies for living radio.
Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
You know we need them. Yeah, we need them. We need those strategies, don't we? Those strategies for living.
As long as we're living, we can we use need them. That's for sure.
We do. You ready for your daily dose?
You know,
of radio rehab.
I was ready, but you brought in some heavy duty life strategies today.
We're celebrating. We kicked off yesterday our 33rd season.
That's right.
Of strategies for living, and you just thought we had a great life strategist.
Well, we had a great
yesterday.
Season opener, yeah.
Yeah, we did, but today
you might be outdoing yourself.
I think Jay Merle's helping us do that, and as he usually
Your
does.
Your wish is my command.
You've done this a time or two. You have brought his honor,
yes,
the mayor of Shreveport,
yes,
Tom Arsenault. Mayor, welcome to Strategies for Living.
It's
welcome
great
back.
To be here. Thank you very much.
Well, we probably don't have the food service that you're accustomed to with Mike and Aaron in the morning. But,
apologies.
You know,
no bad coffee.
No bad coffee. No.
it's good.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot to talk about today. This last week was a busy. Profound week. How about if I just say that? And it gives us a lot of things to consider, a lot of things to talk about, doesn't it?
It does.
And I know, Mayor, you have you're in a pretty unique position to speak to this, and looking forward to hearing what counsel you have for all of us to share today.
Well, I probably have more observations than counsel, but I'm glad to share what I have.
All right. We're looking forward to it. And you've outdone yourself again, Jay Merle.
You get another gold star.
You get two gold stars today. Yeah. Yeah.
Every blind hog catches a...
Can I quote you on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clock's right twice a day. I don't know. Something like
that. No.
Folks, profound.
Welcome into Strategies for Living. We're glad you're here, and we appreciate our sponsors who make it all possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing.
Roof, roof.
And Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center and Fertitta's Delicatessen. Home of the Godfather, alligator Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. It's Jay, and it's Lauren, and it's David with His Honor the Mayor, our life strategist today on Strategies for Living. Come back with us. Welcome into Strategies for Living Radio. Lauren Leon McMillan, Jay Merle, David McMillan. Let's welcome into the program our life strategist, the Honorable Mayor of the City of Shreveport, Mayor Tom Arsenault. And Mayor, with your permission, let me read your statement upon the death of Charlie Kirk.
Sure.
Last week. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault issued the following statement regarding the death of Charlie Kirk. Quoting now, "I'm deeply saddened by the tragic murder of Charlie Kirk. Political violence threatens the very foundation of our democracy. We cannot tolerate it. I'm mindful of the significance of the issuance of this statement on the 24th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Also, political violence, acts of political violence. We must continue to work together to resolve our differences with respect, compassion, and peace. I am committed to building a safer and more unified community." Mayor, thank you for coming. You don't need an introduction. You are the mayor of our wonderful city. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking time out to come and be with us today.
I appreciate the opportunity, David, Jay, and Lauren. I think we're in very difficult times, and it's helpful to talk about them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, where do we begin to talk about this? We were chatting a bit before the program. I was not until... I was aware of who Charlie Kirk was, but I guess until his murder, until the assassination, I really did not, I hadn't paid much attention. I'm really not in the, demographic. Lauren's more in the demographic than...
And I didn't even know who he was either, so...
So, but I have, watched and some of his work after... the assassination, I'm profoundly sorry that such a voice is no longer on the scene. Yeah, where do we start?
And apparently, not on the scene because of the content of his views.
Yes,
which from all things that I have read and seen were understated most of the time. He was not he wasn't a flamethrower.
Right.
He had very conservative views that he was pleased to present and to debate and to discuss with people that he disagreed with.
Right.
In what appeared to be a respectful way.
Well, and what has, what as I dove into it last week, what struck me in watching the videos of his work and his interaction with people was a couple of things. His willingness to give voice to both sides of an argument and his respectfulness, at least the videos that I saw, he listened and he was very respectful in conversation.
Well, I've seen some very, very brief things. So, you know, my comments today have more to do with the observations over kind of where it appears to me we are as a community, as a society, with right. respect to discussing things over which we disagree.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. Where do you see us as a society? Where do you see the whole? And then let's talk about our specific community, Shreveport. So let's talk. How do you see? How does Tom Arsenault see our society as a whole, and how do you see where we are in Shreveport, USA?
In terms of society as a whole, I somewhat judge that by the content of social media because it's so pervasive.
Sure.
And although I'm not on social media very much, when I campaigned, I was on Facebook a lot. And because that was a means of getting a message out
sure.
to people. And I think it was, it apparently was effective because I am mayor.
I think it was.
But since that time, and particularly because I'm now in public office, I view it very differently because most of what I think happens with public media around my comments or things that are posted about me,
right,
fall into one of two categories.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
People really like what I'm doing or who I am or what I say.
Right.
Or people really hate it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't think that I'm polarizing.
Right.
But I find that, you know, people have an impression and what I say or what I do seems to either fall in line with their impression or doesn't fall in line with their impression, and so the remarks are really pretty, pretty bitter.
How do you handle that personally? How do you handle that? Because you obviously, first and foremost, you're a human being with
yes.
with feeling, thoughts, and feelings.
Right.
And I knew you before for years before your election. I always experienced you as a nice guy. You know, a go-to kind of guy.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought he was a nice guy until he ran for mayor and won. And now some of those people
right.
are the bitter
sure,
ones.
Right. Sure.
So how do you deal with that?
I don't have a lot of that, but there are people who we used to say who like to hear themselves talk.
Right.
And they like to be flashy, and they like for other people to celebrate them by joining in the conversation.
Right.
And so that I think that results in now instead of hearing themselves talk, they like to hear themselves type.
Yes.
And so they're on, and they're trying to make outlandish statements. Because they don't really have facts to examine an issue. And so what I think we've gotten to in this country and throughout the world, really, we have this tremendous access to information.
Yes.
Across a very broad scope. But there's so much information that all we're looking at is a little headline. Mm-hmm. And the role of headlines is to make you want to read the article.
Yeah.
So a lot of times
they call it clickbait, right?
Right. It's clickbait. And so a lot of times what I discover is somebody on my staff, they follow the social media stuff a lot more closely than I do. You ask how do I deal with it? I deal with it, frankly, by avoiding it, because most of the time it isn't going to change my mind, because it isn't the kind of thing that would give me information or a really substantive argument. Mm-hmm. It's just a disagreement with my opinion.
Right.
And so they'll come to me and they say, well, look at what this headline says. Then I'll read the article. So, you know, the article's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's the headline that's misleading. We had a headline last week where it was a national news source that had asked me a few questions, and the headline characterized Shreveport as a high crime city, which we're not.
We're not. Right. Yeah.
We've made a lot of headway there.
Absolutely.
But they characterized us as a high crime city. The article did not characterize us as a high crime city. Right. And, you know, I've done a little bit of work in journalism, and what I know is the general rule is that the reporter does not write the headline.
Right.
Somebody else is laying out the paper or laying out the website or whatever the medium is that they're using.
Right.
And so they literally are looking for clickbait.
Clickbait.
And a lot of times my observation is that the headline is much more radical than what the article says. When you read the article, you say, well, you know, everything they said in there was true. I really don't have a problem with the article.
Yeah. All right. So second part of the question, how are we doing? How are we doing in terms of Shreveport, USA?
You know, because of the size of our city, and I'm going to talk about the people that I tend to deal with, and I deal with a lot of people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My general impression is that we are not as divided or vitriolic as I view the image of the country to be. And I wouldn't say the country, because I don't think I have enough information to really draw that conclusion.
Right.
But in terms of what we think about, I think that we are not as divided. Mm-hmm. We are... maybe it's because we're Southerners. We are a little more respectful of each other. And certainly our personal reactions, generally speaking, are more polite and more respectful. There are obviously exceptions to every rule.
Sure.
And we have people in our community who apparently want to settle their disputes with a gun. And
right.
And that is something that is very concerning.
You and Chief Smith are working on that.
Yeah, we are, but it's a, I don't know. I think it'll be very interesting when sociologists look back on this era, because you really can't draw those conclusions about what occurred until years have passed and you're kind of looking back on, well, this happened and this happened, and we can connect those two things. It's hard to connect the dots on those things when you're living through it.
Absolutely. We're in a conversation, a very important conversation today with Mayor Tom Arsenault. His Honor the Mayor is our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living. Thanks to Jay Merle. And we've got lots more to talk. And it's an important conversation that we all need to be in on here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back.
Strategies for living.
welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living in our 33rd season.
That's right.
That doesn't even feel right.
Where'd it go?
I'm too young for this.
I agree.
But thank goodness we have wonderful people like Jay Merle, and we have wonderful life strategists like Mayor Tom Arsenault, who are with us today here on Strategies.
And you have wonderful sponsors.
And we do have wonderful. So you want to talk about
one of
them. I want to
do a shout out. Azalea Cleaners. I've been doing business at Azalea Cleaners for forever.
Yep.
And I have great loyalty to them. And I've got a story about Walter Johnson's dad, but that's old. I'm going to give you a new one. So
okay.
I'm talking to Walter. We just recently did their roof.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to Walter about the service that Azalea Cleaners renders.
Right.
And I told him the story about his dad and how his dad went out of his way to bring me a shirt at the airport that, you know, I needed. So anyway, but he says, well, I got my own story. Walter says, I'm out on Cross Lake drift fishing for catfish.
Yeah.
It's 11:30 at night.
Right.
I get a call from a lady who had my cell phone number, who's one of my customers.
Right.
She's upset because she's forgotten to get her husband's tux.
Oh, no.
From Cleaners.
From the cleaners. Yeah.
And she says, he's got a flight out. The husband has a flight out the next morning at 7:30.
Oh, man. Oh,
okay,
man.
Picture this. It's 11:30 at night. Walter's drift fishing on Cross Lake.
Oh, my goodness.
He says, Pat, can you meet me at Azalea on Azalea in 45 minutes? She says, yes, I can.
Wow.
So he goes and he gets this guy. I'm not going to mention names.
Yeah.
Already dropped a little hint. But anyway, you know, and that's the way.
That's the kind of service.
The Johnsons are. And it goes back to Walter's dad, and they go out of their way.
It's a legacy.
It is
a legacy of service.
And they also do good cleaning.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we are in a conversation today. And, you know, we invited Mayor, we set this up and we invited you prior to the events of last week. You know, and one of the things that I wanted to talk about a bit was, interestingly, in this time that we all find ourselves in, how do you take care of yourself? How do you, you know, the primary relationship we all have is the relationship that we have with ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to talk to you about, well, how do you, in this environment, how do you take care of yourself? You know,
a couple of ways. I have a terrific spouse.
Yes, you do.
Agreed.
To whom I owe the great favor of Mr. Merle.
Me and Lisa
introduced us.
Yes, we did. One of my great accomplishments.
I had forgotten.
And
that.
So I'm always grateful to Jay for introducing me to Elizabeth, and we've now been married for
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
32 years, and she's just a great sounding board. She has just terrific judgment. She is really much more a people person than I am. I'm more an idea and policy person. And she's really the people person. So what I do to take care of myself, I have to have some alone time because mm-hmm. people will find this hard to believe, but I am by nature
an introvert.
I can believe that. Yeah. I can believe
and
that.
So I like to read and study. I do some Bible study, and I find that really helps center me to understand that the world is not about me, it's about him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the way that I kind of like to deal with things. And I started a few years ago, one of my brothers-in-law, who's really a brilliant guy, was reading in a group read. Everybody in the group read was on, it was at that time, it was Twitter.
Right.
And we would read a chapter a day in a book. And the first book that we were reading was Les Miserables.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Which coincidentally has 365 chapters.
Oh.
So we took a year to read. Yeah. We read a chapter a day, and we took a year to read Les Miserables.
How neat.
And and it rekindled my desire to read fiction. Because fiction is stories that have a moral that you can kind of fit in. I'm currently reading a book by an author that I really like. He's passed away now, and his name is Alan Drury. And he wrote political novels. He was a Washington Post Senate, U.S. Senate reporter. And his most famous book was, his first one is called Advise and Consent, and was made into a movie. And then he wrote a whole series of books about the characters that he created in Advise and Consent. And I'm currently reading one called Come Nineveh, Come Tyre, which was to be the last in this series about these particular characters.
Right.
And it is about a group of people using violence and political violence and upheaval to try and create a dictatorship in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Now, this book is like from the mid-70s. Right. So it's just, I have found it really very interesting to be reading this book while all this is going on. And so it causes me to think, what's going on here? What does he think is going on here? And how does this kind of fit into a perspective? So I have to have some alone time to kind of recuperate and recenter myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah.
Some people process by being with people and by speaking out loud. I process things internally.
Right.
Or I might even write about it. Write, you know, journal entries or write an article. I used to write a column for the Times.
Yes.
A lot of that was cathartic for me.
Yeah, sure.
And that I learned a lot about me by writing these articles, and it helped me to formulate what I thought about various things.
Yeah, I admire my lovely wife because she begins every day. Yes. I bring her a cup of tea every morning. Mm-hmm. When I get up a little before she does, I bring her a cup of tea, and she starts her journaling time.
Yeah.
So, you know, Pocket and I try to leave her alone during that first 30
totally
to 45
understand.
Minutes of the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's how I, and then, but I do have a close group of people. Elizabeth is one of those people. And I'll tell you, the people that really keep me up during the day, keep me upbeat during the day,
right,
are the people on my staff, my administrative assistant, my communications director, my chief of staff, and my confidential secretary. They're very supportive. They always have my back, and they really have great senses of humor. Mm. And so we're able to laugh together and talk through things, and it really helps to keep me grounded.
Absolutely.
That's important.
That is very important.
And those are some great life strategies for all of us.
Yes.
Right? To remember to take time for ourselves and to surround ourselves with people who uplift and support us.
Right.
Yeah.
And to laugh a little, right?
Well, the laughter is really important because, you know, one of the things that we really try and do for the city is to make sure that the image that we put forth to the city is calm competence. That we, you know, we may not know everything that we need to do, but we're going to find it and we're going to do it calmly and we're not going to panic. Because once, you know, if the person at the top starts panicking, everybody beneath says, oh, my God, what do we do? What do we do?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're not thinking clearly and coming up with effective strategies to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. In terms of what we were talking about last segment, which is it couldn't be a more important topic right now, what is your counsel to all of us as citizens here in Shreveport moving forward?
Watch your language.
Mm.
I think it watch the way you say things and what you say, and do not resort to name calling.
Mm-hmm.
What I think happens is that we so believe that we're right without giving mind to the possibility that we might be wrong all the way or part of the way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That we're just locked into that position. And as a result, if somebody disagrees, instead of trying to find out what the basis for the disagreement is and why they believe what they believe, we just want to call them a name.
Right.
And
take the easy way out.
Or insult them, yeah. Or make a joke or get out a one-liner quip or what have you. And it really avoids the discussion. And what we really need to have is the discussion.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and
right.
Connection is what I'm hearing, too.
Yeah.
Making
yeah.
connection instead of throwing our violent attacks, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, something I've observed is in conversation with people about what could be a point of contention, you know that the other side has thrown in the towel when they start calling names. I think that might go with what Tom's saying about watch what you say.
Yeah.
Well, our words are incredibly powerful.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a part of that is two things. Number one, watch what you think.
Yeah.
And then think before you speak.
Yeah.
In other words,
yeah.
this think, say without pause. A filter is yeah. really dangerous.
Learn how to pause.
Yeah, observe.
When you
I think
feel like
what I hear you saying is observe your own thinking.
Right, because I think so often we put out what we're already giving and feeding within ourselves.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's just an endless cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to break out of.
It is very hard to break out of because it's ingrained. And I don't think social media created it. But
oh
I
boy,
think it
they
did enhance
they
it.
Yes.
Perpetuated and enhance and perpetuate.
Yeah.
You're earning your life strategist stripes
I'm
today,
get
Mayor.
I'm going to get your certificate.
Mayor Tom Arsenault with us today here on Strategies for Living. And we obviously are having a very important conversation for all of us, not only in Shreveport, but beyond. More to come. Here on Strategies with Jay and Lauren and Mayor Tom. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
We all have problems every day. We all need help along the way. We need strategies, strategies, strategies for living radio.
And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living Radio with Lauren and Jay and David and our life strategist, his honor, Mayor Tom Arsenault, mayor of the city of Shreveport. And man, it's such an important conversation that we are in. Jay, I guess around this table, you know, Lauren and I've already admitted, I knew who Charlie Kirk was. But I was not in tune.
Right.
The folks around this table, you were more in tune with who he was and the message.
A huge fan of Charlie Kirk's because I admired his. When you argued with Charlie Kirk, first of all, you were respected, as you said, but Charlie Kirk was an incredibly well read individual.
Yes.
His Christian faith was at the center of all that. And he could talk about all the topics of the day in a respectful manner and give arguments that I think were, quite frankly, objectively true.
Right.
But done in such a manner. And so his ideas were, in some segments of the population, unaccepted. But he was so good at what he did, apparently it's riled some people up to the extent that at least this one guy. Amongst this group that followed him and
the younger folks.
His cohort are the college age kids and younger. He created an incredible movement starting when he was 18 years old. He died at 31. Thousands and thousands and thousands of young people and chapters all in colleges, campuses all over the United States. But let me put this point on it. for a lot of folks who for whom he was significant, and because of the way he conducted himself, and in light of what's going on in the country and all of the divisiveness and the tribalism that we're experiencing, what I'm hearing is that perhaps this is an inflection point for us. Let me explain what I mean.
So you mean this is like a JFK moment? Exactly. It's like a Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy moment.
Exactly. Yeah. For this generation, the assassination of Charlie Kirk is the JFK, MLK, RFK. You can even go to Malcolm X.
Right.
It's their watershed event.
It's right. A turning point.
It's a right. Turning point. And it can go one of two ways. It can go a good way, or it can continue to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And the way I would like to see it to go, and I think the people around this table would be, perhaps it kind of plays off of what Tom was just saying about how we learn to listen to each other and watch what we say.
Yeah.
I think we can agree that we haven't seen, at least since the 1960s, which all of us here except Warren are old enough to remember, we haven't seen this level of vitriol, violence, and just downright nasty behavior.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. So it reminds me, Mayor, of an old proverb. Mm-hmm. Which says, if everybody sweeps in front of their house, the whole street gets cleaned. Mm-hmm. Metaphorically, Shreveport is our house. Mm-hmm. All right. So how do we as a community, and let me say Shreveport, Bossier City,
yeah.
You know, this community, how do we sweep in front of our house in this moment, taking what Jay said as an opportunity? How do we as a community sweep in front of our house?
It always starts with me. I'm the only person that I can control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only person that I can change.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I have to do is to decide to change my behavior. And one of the way that I deal with people as mayor, and I won't say that I deal with everybody perfectly in this respect. I am a human being.
Sure.
And from time to time, I get riled up.
Yeah.
But regardless of my emotional reaction to a statement or an action or something like that by another person, I really try and sit back and say, okay, where do I fit into this picture? Why does this make me angry? Mm-hmm. What can I do to have an appropriate response, but not a Casper Milquetoast response?
Right.
Right.
How can I respond? And I think a lot of people think that the only way that you can respond is to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not believe that to be true. So I try very hard not to be angry in my response, even if I have to, you know, go in a closet and scream a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Do what you got to do.
So yeah. that I deal with the emotional reaction that I have. I'm a pretty cheesy, romantic kind of guy, and that usually that goes with the other side, is that I can – you know, I can get pretty upset with things that happen. And I think it's a matter of self-awareness and self-control. How is this going to sound to the person that I am communicating with? Because if I'm trying to persuade you, or I'm in an argument with you and I'm trying to persuade a broader audience, calling you a name is not going to win the argument.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So if I really want to win the argument, I have to look for another strategy to do that. And maybe I won't win the argument,
right.
And it won't necessarily be because I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. It may just be that I haven't found the right persuasiveness to win that argument. And I have to be willing to take a longer term view. I cannot boil on every defeat. And decide that, well, they had it in for me. That's why I lost this. They had it in for me.
Right.
That is just, first of all, it's usually not about me.
Right.
Right.
And when you go to that conclusion, you've decided it's about me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it usually isn't about me.
So
it,
what I'm hearing, if I'm hearing you correctly, what I'm hearing you say, what I'm hearing you challenge all of us to do is to increase our own level of consciousness. We could call that our own level of spirituality if we wanted to. Consciousness or spirituality. There was a teacher a couple of thousand years ago that kept saying over and over and over, and we need to hear the word still today, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is within you. And that's what I'm hearing you say.
Well, to the extent that we let him into our hearts, that's true. And so if we really believe that that's where we are, and we ought to act like it.
Yeah. And I hear you telling all of us, you know, that this is a moment, reminding all of us this is an opportunity, you know, and we can, you know, that we are going to probably, there's a lot of people listening to us who are probably still angry. But underneath that anger,
Is sadness, hurt,
and fear.
Yep.
And so it gives us an opportunity to deal with what's really going on.
If you're sad, if you're crying, if you're sorry Charlie's gone, and you feel sadness for his family, the positive thing to do is to use this as an opportunity to help everyone heal.
Absolutely. Mayor Tom Arsenault, our wonderful life strategist here on Strategies for a Living. And we'll take a break, come back, stay with us. A little more Strategies for a Living to come. And welcome back in. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Jay Merle, Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, our life strategist, Mayor Tom Arsenault. I can tell you one thing, you know, and especially based on the conversation today, we need to have you here more often.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, you've given such wise counsel today, Mayor. What do you want to leave us with? What do you want us to take away from this very important conversation with you today?
You know, I think what it all boils down to is we really ought to treat people with respect that we would like to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, I mean, I'm a Christian, and so what I know is whoever I'm dealing with, Jesus loves them, and he loves them just as much as he loves me.
Absolutely.
Which is infinitely.
Yes.
And that's part of the mystery. But to remember that person is made in the image of God.
Yes.
And that they need to be treated with dignity and respect, no matter how frustrating that may be. Yeah. And I think if people will remember that and try and hold to that, that we'll all be a lot better off.
What a better world it would be.
Yeah, what a wonderful world it could be. I know this is not Christian, but it's. I think Jesus would agree with it. Namaste.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
The God in me recognizes the God in you. Mayor, thank you so much for the work that you're doing for this community. Thank you for, and I hope you can do it for a long time to come. And
there's a rumor that he's going to run for re-election.
We may invite him back to find out about that. Who knows?
Okay.
Mayor Tom Arsenault, great life strategist. Thank you, Jay Merle.
Absolutely.
And Lauren, thank you. Folks, thank you for tuning in to Strategies for Living. And we appreciate our sponsors who make it all possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners. And Pintail Roofing.
Roof, roof.
And Learning RX.
Train your brain.
And that's right. And the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, alligator Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call to make, who would you call? What would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Mayor Tom Arsenault And for Jay Merle, for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.